Father, I just pray you would anoint your word today, God, that I could get out of your way and that you would be magnified, God, and your truth would be magnified, that I could proclaim the whole counsel of God today and not withhold anything, Lord, and that you would be pleased to bless this time that we have together at your feet, Lord. Impart your wisdom and knowledge to us, God, so that we can serve you fully and acceptably through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. And I just pray you would release your Holy Spirit to minister now as we speak, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome. Amen. I hope you guys have been blessed, are being blessed. Praise God. I'm going to do a little something different today. I'm going to do a little topical preaching today. Normally, I like to do expository preaching where you start with Scripture. You just take a passage of Scripture, you break it down, you analyze it, you search out and glean the spiritual principles from that, and you apply it to everyday life, you know, where the rubber meets the road. And I love doing that. I love to just, you know, have Scripture as the centerpiece of what we're doing. God's Word. But I want to do a little topical preaching today, break off a little bit, and just speak and teach a little bit about a particular subject or topic that I think is really timely right now. So today I want to talk on the subject of angels. Okay? Angels. How many people here today believe in angels? Hey. How many people don't believe in angels? You know? Okay, cool. So pretty much everybody, you know. If you believe in the Bible, you've got to believe in angels because they are there from cover to cover. Scripture is saturated with references to angels. There's like 265 mentions of angels in the Bible. 165 times in the New Testament, about 100 times in the Old Testament. They're in over half the books of the Bible. 34 out of 66 books of the Bible have references to angels. Revelation alone has 52 references to angels. And what I think is probably the most fascinating, this just blows my mind. Out of those 265 references to angels in Scripture, 104 of them describe some form of interaction between angels and human beings. In other words, almost half of all the references to angels in Scripture refer to an interaction or encounter between angels and human beings. That's significant. How many would agree? If over half of the references to something in the Bible refer to a particular thing, then that thing is significant and God wants us to be aware of it. Praise God. Now I can almost hear the wheels in your head turning. Where's he going with this? I find it interesting because, you know, generally when I think of angels, I kind of think of them as being sort of passive. You know, they're invisible. I kind of think of them as being somewhat distant and detached, kind of just kicking back, you know, watching everything, watching us, kind of like, you know, almost like they're being, like they're watching TV or something, just kind of hanging around, you know, with feet up and like, yeah, that was interesting. Oh, I wonder why he said that. Or, oh, look at that guy over there. Hey, Bob, wasn't he yours today? Oops. You know? Wow. Even the Newsboys have a song, Entertaining Angels, that just kind of even nurtures that kind of a concept, you know, that angels are just sitting around being entertained by us, and they're just kind of laughing and pointing and checking us out, or they might be rubbing their, I don't know if they have beards, I guess, you know, rubbing their chin, you know, saying, wow, isn't this interesting? But, you know, I would like to present a little bit different perspective on angels today. I'd like to present a picture from Scripture I think that will be challenging to you today. Hopefully it'll rock your world a little bit and cause you to maybe slightly elevate our perception of what angels really do, who they are, what they're doing, and how God would want to use them in our life to impact us in a positive way. There are angels here with us right now. They are in our midst. I don't know how many. I'm hoping that there would be many. And my heart's desire today is to so teach and proclaim the Word of God that they would be pleased with what we have to say about them, that I would represent the truth about them accurately and persuasively. Now, part of the reason I'm doing this is because, well, it's simply a good topic to teach about every once in a while, but also because, as we mentioned last week, there is something we've been referred to as a healing revival that's going on in Lakeland, Florida, led by a man named Todd Bentley, and there have been multitudes, as we said last week, of reported healings, tumors being healed, burns being healed, hearing restored, visions restored, people raised from either clinical death or near death in those things. And as we said last week, this guy Todd Bentley is kind of a controversial guy, not only because he has a lot of tattoos and piercings and that kind of thing, and you know, doesn't really look like, you know, Oral Roberts or your typical, you know, healing evangelist, but because, and probably mainly because, he's reported to have, you know, throughout his ministry, encounters with angels on numerous occasions. And people have been debating very vigorously on the internet, I mean very impassioned in either direction, as to the validity of these things. Is it of God? Is it not of God? How scriptural is it? And what should we do about it? And so I want to explore a little bit today what the Bible says about angels and their relationship with us and in relationship to us, and then sort of examine what's happening in Lakeland in light of what Scripture says about angels and how we relate to them. Amen? So I want to talk a little bit generally about angels, but I also want to talk specifically about their ministry to believers, or even unbelievers in certain circumstances, in certain ways, and really maybe highlight a little bit that maybe isn't usually highlighted in teachings about angels. So I'm kind of pumped about this because I've found out some fascinating things about angels in the study, things that I've heard of before but never really thought about in the light that I've been thinking about them lately. So praise God, let's dive right in with both feet. Hebrews 1:14 in Scriptures is probably the most fundamental, like, nutshell statement about angels. Okay, and we have it up there. And it says, the writer of Hebrews says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" So they are spirits. In one term, they have been known to appear in human form, bodily form at various times, but generally speaking, they are spirits, and they are sent forth. In other words, they are commissioned by God, sent out by God, and sent out with a purpose or purposes. They are sent out with tasks to accomplish, jobs to do, ministry to perform. So not just kind of kicking back with an iced tea and, you know, a bag of chips or something, just watching us. They are actively carrying out the will of God to minister to you and to me and to God's people. They are sent forth to minister, to build up, edify, bless, and otherwise do good to God's people on behalf of God, to minister to those who will inherit salvation. That's you and I. And all of God's elect. That's basically, in a nutshell, who they are. Okay? I don't think any great revelation there, but just to kind of set the stage. Now, some general things about angels. The Bible says that they are created beings. Okay? They are not people. They're different from people. They're similar and parallel in many ways, but they're not people per se. They are created beings. They are not, you know, God, although there is references in the Bible to the angel of the Lord, which represents what's known as an epiphany. God makes an appearance, usually in the Old Testament, in bodily form, probably the Son of God, and that's referred to as the angel of the Lord in capitals. But generally, angels or an angel of the Lord are God's holy angels. And we can kind of derive from Scripture that they were created probably somewhere around the first day of creation, of God's creation. Why do we say that? Well, We know they were definitely created before the, you know, by the sixth day, because at that point it said that God finished his works, and then on the seventh day he rested. But also in the book of Job, chapter 38, you look at verse 4 and verse 7 together, and the Lord is asking Job, kind of rebuking him a little bit. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" So he's saying here, when he created the earth, literally laid the foundations of the earth, that there were angels present. These are other terms for angels, other titles for them. The morning stars, these sons of God, not like you and I might be sons of God, but in that they are his created beings. "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So when God began his act of creating, laying the foundations of the world, the angels were present. They had been created. And as they witnessed that, they celebrated and worshiped and praised God and sang to his glory. So at some point, so it appears that at some point on the first day of creation is when the angels were created, and then they witnessed God's mighty acts in creating the rest of the universe. Now, how many angels are there? There are millions of angels. Scripture says that it is an uncountable number of angels. It doesn't mean it's infinite. It just means that, you know, some guy goes out and there, you know, 1, 2, you know, 457,600 one, two. In other words, give it up. Don't even bother. There are millions and millions of angels. Scripture says, Revelation 5:11, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Okay, in other words, millions, if you were to multiply that out. They are said to be the armies of heaven. So they're not just walking around in these frilly little robes, you know, with like lace and flowers in their hair, all sweet and cute, you know, like little naked babies flying around with arrows and wings on their back and stuff like that. This, they are called the host of heaven. That's an old English word that means the army or armies of heaven. They are warriors, powerful beyond almost imagination, powerful warriors of God. They carry swords, sometimes swords of fire. They travel in chariots, sometimes chariots of fire. And they do battle against armies of demons, which are fallen angels, rebellious angels. There is literally spiritual warfare going on probably all the time in the heavens, in the spirit realm. And the armies of God, the holy angels, are doing literal battle against armies of demonic beings. They sometimes in Scripture do battle even against armies of human beings. Chew on that. These armies that are out here in the world, guess what? There's precedence in Scripture that they're not always just fighting other human armies, that there are angelic encounters and things going on in the spirit that affect in powerful ways the things that are going on here, including military battles. They even war against armies of human. They have been known, to take it on a little serious level, they have been known throughout Scripture to slay people at the command of God, to kill and to take people out at God's command. Angels, warriors of God. For instance, an angel of God killed 70,000 people in Jerusalem during the time of King David. One angel. In fact, it talks about it in 2 Samuel 24, if you compare that to 1 Chronicles 21. As he killed 70,000 people with the plague, it said he did that with his sword. So he inflicted this plague upon them with his sword. Now, you know, when I read normally before this, before I really realized that, as I would read about angels with swords in Scripture, I would think, you know, oh, that's cool, but, you know, isn't that kind of outdated? I mean, I wonder, do they, like, you know, what do they use nowadays? Well, their swords are not like our swords. They are swords of fire. They are swords that, according to 1 Chronicles 21, can actually inflict plague upon thousands of people. So I don't know what kind of weapons they're using, but I don't want to go up against them. All I got is a paint gun. Paintball guy, you know, and the Econo version from Bass Pro at that. So, which does me fine. It does a wonderful job. 70,000 people. Another angel in Scripture, 2 Kings 19, another angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. That is a powerful angel. Single-handedly slew 185,000 of some of the mightiest warriors of the day. Another angel killed King Herod, struck him, and it said he died of worms. He inflicted disease upon King Herod because King Herod refused to give glory to God and receive the glory of the people for himself. That's strict stuff. That makes me want to say, wow, I better straighten my act up. I don't want no angel having to inflict any disease on me because I failed to give God the glory. Praise God, when something good happens, man, let's give God the glory. Let's not take it for ourselves. They mean business.